Welcome to Chats with Susan Burrell, and that's me. I help strong, capable women who have pockets of self-doubt access their inner wisdom and clarify their own truth. Chats with Susan Burrell is where we have rich conversations about empowerment, radiating your brilliance out into the world, and loving yourself more than you ever have before. And who doesn't want that? So let's get started. So on Chats with Susan Burrell today, I have this, a woman that I have been honored to do a little bit of work with. She's an amazing business coach, but I also discovered that she is retired Air Force. She served in our military, and she founded an organization called Sisters Who Serve. And I investigated it. I got chills. I have chills right now. So I just want to welcome to the show, Nakia DeVita. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan, for having me. And I'm overwhelmed at this point because of how passionate I am about Sisters Who Serve and some of the things that are happening right now. So take it away.
I got a box of Kleenex here. If I could share it with you, I would, but I'm sure I'm going to need a few as we go through this. So the reason, part of the reason why you wanted to create this organization, which is a nonprofit, everybody, and I love to talk to people who do excellent nonprofit work, and we'll get to that a little later. But part of this is because you were in the military, and when you came out, part of what the organization does is it helps female veterans reintegrate into society.
Correct.
And you decided to do this because of some personal things you were seeing and experiencing. Am I right?
Yes, it actually even all started with eWomen Network. Several years back at the conference, there was a stage presentation that was talking about the statistics that women veterans in our country are facing right now. And as I was listening to the presentation at that Dallas conference, I just started sobbing uncontrollably. And the reason for that is because I didn't realize that there was such a thing as statistics for women veterans and that we were a very at-risk population. And the reason why I was sobbing is because as they were talking about all the statistics, I had experienced every single one of them except for one, which was being homeless. And so I didn't realize that I was among a population of high-risk women in our country. And as a result, I wanted to do something to help. And
what were some of the things that you personally had experienced then, if you've experienced almost all of them but one?
Yeah, and so literally women veterans are among the highest risk of being unemployed in our country. Wow. So for example, or underemployment. So 36.1% among female veterans unemployment rate. 50% of all age groups of women veterans are unemployed. And this is because the civilian sector does not know how to translate our military experience into civilian sector. It's getting better, but we're still working on it. And part of the reason that women veterans are more impacted compared to our male counterparts is because literally, physiologically, it takes women veterans 6 times longer than our male counterparts to transition to civilian life.
That's big.
It's huge. That's because women experience stress and trauma 6 to 8 times greater than our male counterparts due to our own hormones of oxytocin and serotonin.
Oh, yeah.
So as a result, our risk of PTSD is 6 to 8 times greater than men when exposed to the same trauma or the same environment. So therefore, in addition, women veterans are the fastest growing homeless population in the United States.
Yikes.
Now, fastest growing segment of homeless in our country. And that's 4 times greater than male veterans. And part of the reason why for that is because many of the women are single mothers. And therefore, these shelters do not take children, or they only take men. So therefore, women veterans are disenfranchised just because there isn't the available resources to house them and their children, or just them by themselves.
I want to just tap on that, Nakia, because I've worked downtown, you know, and there's lots of male vets that are homeless and they're out of their mind, you know, with drugs and alcohol and or whatever the disablement is. And, but it never, and this is, I'm a little embarrassed about this. It did not dawn on me that there was such a large population of female veterans going through, if not the same thing, even worse.
Well, it gets worse. So the next part is, in addition to 60% of the transitional housing programs and the, with the VA and so forth, they don't accept children, 60%. So therefore, and many of them don't accept women. So there's the first level disenfranchisement, but here it's worse. 1 in 5 women report yes to experiencing military sexual trauma. So they don't want to engage with the very system that actually also traumatized them on top of that. And 1 in 5 is just reported. In actual numbers, I've experienced 4 out of 5 women actually report that they have experienced military sexual trauma. It's just that it's reported 1 in 5 officially, but I've almost not experienced anyone who has not.
Right. So with the Me Too movement happening now, are more of the female veterans speaking up to this? Or I can see where they must be so completely jammed between a rock and a hard spot.
If you're active duty, you still cannot really talk about it.
Oh God.
If you're a veteran, you need to be very careful in speaking about it. Fortunately, there is now through the VA and so forth, you can now put in a claim for military sexual trauma, and it will go through the system, and we are seeing a much higher success rate for that, which is great. Active duty women, however, I would not necessarily encourage them to, without proper education and resources and coaching, I would not necessarily encourage them to come forward unless they know what to say, how to say it, so that they're protected inside of the system today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with veterans, yes, it is okay to talk about it today. And I still recommend that they get the proper coaching so that they know what to say, what not to say. When you're filling out official documents, there is a consequence for everything you do or do not put in your paperwork. And so we would just want to make sure that they're working with the right experts when they're putting in their claims, which is part of what Sisters Who Serve does in connection with our local resources and community with the VA, to make sure that they get that proper guidance in completing their paperwork. That's one of the very first things that we do.
That's awesome, because I can imagine everybody needs help with that. It's got to be confusing.
It is beyond confusing. Yeah. And the whole process, unless you already know how to navigate your way through it, it is not to be, let me just tell you, it's not something to do by yourself. When I went through my paperwork, I did not do it myself, and I'm a smart individual. I graduated from the Air Force Academy. I'm a smart cookie, and even I was clueless in walking through that process. So I got an expert who knew how to walk me through it, and I did it through our local congresswoman's office, who is very a great advocate for veterans in our community. And we have a great, and here in Ventura County, I know this is broadcasting all over, but we're very fortunate here in Ventura County, California, to have a very, very strong network of veterans in our community, veteran organizations, and our congresswoman and so forth. So we are a great model for the country. And that's what I want to duplicate and replicate to other communities throughout the United States to support veterans and doing the right thing in the right way. And we're really nailing it here in Ventura County, I gotta say. And we have a lot of work to go, but man, we are a great community to support our veterans.
So Nakia, before we came on to record, you shared a little bit about a current crisis you were just dealing with over the last 24 hours. And I think it's a good illustration of what Sisters Who Serve does to help vets.
Oh, thank you. So literally yesterday and today, I got a phone call yesterday afternoon from a female veteran who had heard of Sisters Who Serve. So I, took the phone call, and she explained that she and her husband have been living in their car for about a year. They're both veterans, and the transmission of the car went out, and they could not afford the repairs, and the car got towed away.
Oh, man.
And that was her home. And so now they were facing, as of yesterday, they didn't have a place to sleep. And so here it is, 3 p.m. I know that organizations close at 5. So it's not like I had time to have a nice little chat to get to know them really intimately. So I was in immediate triage, take action. What are we going to do to get these people a hotel tonight? And so I reached out to over a dozen organizations in my network to do immediate fundraising to get a hotel bill paid. And we got the money to get them housed last night, and then through Monday, Tuesday. And then I got them hooked up with the right services in the community that on Monday morning, they are going to the local Veterans Service Office to triage their case, to make sure that they are in the system officially to start getting what's called their HUD VASH, which is their housing voucher. But that takes months.
Right.
Months of, but it's lead time. You got to start right away to get the clock ticking. And then she has experienced military sexual trauma and she's epileptic. She needs the proper health care and she needs to get her claims paperwork started so she can start get rated for PTSD and military sexual trauma. He lost his job is how they got into this mess to begin with. He lost his job and therefore he's 10% service connected. So he gets $136 a month. You can't live on that. They are on food stamps. And so here's an example of a couple, both veterans, young. He's in college right now at Ventura College. So this is where I need to get more information starting today. I've been working, 8 hours on this case already between yesterday and today to, go up and find out what's going on. What do you need? That's an immediate example of we needed emergency donation dollars to get a couple off the street. Now I called all these dozen organizations. Guess what? I found out, this one takes men, not women. This one does not take couples. This one, unless you go through hoops, they have a several month or several weeks waiting list to get in. So here's what I'm saying is, here I called many of the support networks in our community, over a dozen. Some of them, they don't even answer the phone. So this is where, when there's an emergency, there is not a crisis immediate response availability because these organizations are larger. They have, and rightfully so, they have things that you need to check through the boxes, go through the hoops, do the proper intake. And that's great. They should have that in place. And that's the proper procedure. And in a crisis like this, who's going to get the couple off the streets? Well, we just have to make immediate decisions, boots on the ground, to just get into action and then figure it out. And that's what we're doing right now. So we're in immediate response to help. Another one last week, and a woman called me. Her name is Sandra. She was experiencing elder abuse. She's an older veteran, military sexual trauma. Again, Her daughter was her fiduciary, and her daughter was not providing food. So this woman hadn't eaten in 3 days.
She was
isolated. She did not have internet. She did not have a cell phone that really worked. She did not have transportation. So she just reached out in desperation. And so we literally went on site to her location. She was being abused by her daughter, who is the fiduciary, who is handling all the money. Therefore, she wasn't getting the resources she needed to eat. So we got, and then we took her to the doctor. Literally last night, she went back into the ER. So what we did, one of the members of Sisters Who Serve, literally is taking her back and forth to her doctor's appointments, literally got her to the ER, literally got her food to eat. It now in the official VA system, because her daughter didn't follow the proper paperwork on time, her benefits got cut off.
Oh so my God.
Her benefits reinstated. This is what is happening every single day in our community. We are responding to crisis, critical situations where people are slipping through the cracks, and women are slipping through the cracks more because we don't ask for help as readily as others, because we have been told, you know, suck it up, girlfriend, you know, be strong. You know, any sign of getting help is a sign of weakness in the culture. So we're trying to eradicate that. It's like, don't wait until you're starving and on the street to ask for help. So this is a cultural shift that we also need to make inside of our women veteran community. We're too proud to ask for help. You know, we're too damn stubborn, you know,
and
stuff happens when you make a series of bad decisions thinking, hey, I'm okay for today. But you know, then today's add up to, I'm not okay today.
Right.
What do I do?
And if you've been trained, even from your family of origin, to ignore the danger signs of
well, that's a whole
okay.
other situation. It's right? a whole other kettle of fish.
And a lot of women are, a lot of women are the frog in the boiling pot of water, and we don't even realize it.
Yes, ma'am.
Because.
Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you because why.
So okay, tell me why.
Is there's only two reasons people join the military. One, you have a noble calling, a family legacy and history of service. So you know that is your moral duty to serve your country, and you go in with a noble calling. That's one. Number two is you're escaping something bad. That's it. That's why people go into the military. No other reasons. So guess what? Especially women, guess where the majority of that comes from? They're coming from door number two. They're escaping some bad sauce. And that's their only option, is to go into the military.
That's
and I tell you, it's a darn good option. And I'm proud of it. And so are the women that I have served with, and us as veterans, as a community. We are proud of our service. And sometimes some bad stuff happens, right? And that ain't so good. And that's what we need to fix. But that population of women, already at large, 30% of the population goes in with pre-trauma into the military. 30%.
Wow, that's huge, actually.
Yes, it is, because we're escaping some bad sauce. Add that to women, right? It's way higher than 30%. I don't know the numbers on that one, but just kind of do the math. That it's probably at least double the percentage is of women are already going in with pre-trauma.
Wow. So Nakia, talk about the four gems of how people can help Sisters Who Serve. And the first one is to get educated on the statistics and issues, which is what you're
which
doing.
Is what we're doing right now.
Yeah. And then the next
one. I have an acronym, GEMS, G-E-M-S, because I believe that women veterans are the hidden treasures of our country.
I got chills.
And so G is get educated on the statistics and the issues, and that's what we're talking about right now. E is express your gratitude through action. I love it when people say thank you for your service, but you know what I love even more? I love a gas card. I love a gift certificate to get groceries. make a donation of a car, make a donation of a cell phone, make a dollar donation so that we can invest the money in these veterans to where we need it.
Okay, so I'm raising my hand here because everybody, I want you to hear what Nakia just said. It's simple stuff that you can do to donate. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. And the idea of a gift card or gas card or food card, how do they send that to Sisters Who Serve? Is there on the site a way you can just click on gift card? Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't have that yet, but I also need some volunteers for tech people. But I do have a donation button in at sistershoserve.org that we're happy to deploy those funds. For example, like you heard Sandra and Anna and Michael. Those are examples. Judith just came to me 2 days ago. So another example is Judith, who just came to me a couple of days ago. She doesn't have transportation or gas money or things like that. So she has housing, but she doesn't have transportation so she can get a job.
Right.
So things like that, whether it's a gas card or donate, you have an old car that still works. We need many veterans who need reliable transportation in our community.
So everybody, I want you to really go to the site, sisters who serve.org, and look at the donation page. They already have it set up so you could just give $1. And I'm inviting everybody, I'm using my very strong mom voice, I'm inviting everybody to not just give a friggin' dollar, because this organization needs sustainability in order to do the work that Nakia has been doing for 24 hours with an at-risk couple. So I invite you to give more. And if it's a little, then you give another little bit more. And this is something that you could even sign up to give. This is what
a
I do. A monthly subscription, which then, because I know you probably get a whole bunch of chunks of change thrown at you, but you need the sustainability over the next year or more to help all the other people that come to you.
Right. And just so you know, I'm donating my time. I am not taking a penny from Sisters Who Serve. The money is going directly. We do have some overhead costs. You know, it costs money to maintain a website.
Yes.
It costs money to, you know, that sort of thing. So there are some very rudimentary expenses that, you know, we keep it lean and mean. I would love to have donations of people's time and talent and treasure, which is the M in GEMS. Make a donation of your time, talent, and treasure, which it can include, hey, if you're a good web person, I would love someone to do some work on the website. If you're a social media person and you know how to do that and you want to donate some hours to help with social media, man, I could use that too. So there are things that we can do if you don't have the money, but you have the time and the talent, that there are ways that we can deploy you to volunteer some really valuable resources that you have that are non-monetary. So you can also reach out to me at Nikia, N-I-K-K-E-A, at sistershoserve.org, and we can have a conversation about how you can help and how we can help our veterans in the communities.
And I just want to tap on that, Nakia, because in my personal experience over the blah, blah, many years, if you're listening to this podcast and you're feeling a little down in the dumps, or, you know, you don't feel very worthwhile or valuable, the best thing you can do to get yourself out of that semi-depression, if you will, or not feeling so good about yourself, is to volunteer, is to give of your time, to give of your talent. And that right there, because you're going to feel so good about helping these women veterans to get back on their feet. It doesn't make any sense to me, Nakia, of why people, well, first of all, it doesn't make any sense why go into the military, because, you know, man, the way things are right now.
That's a whole other podcast, my friend.
Yep. and then when you have to be treated shabbily, I could use stronger words, but by your own government that you were serving, and it blows my mind. It's not even a paradox. It's like, it's just
stupidity. We have story. I have story. A quick story on that is how it was swept under the carpet systematically. It's gotten better. So that's because they got busted years ago when women did come forward to say that they were sexually abused, and the label is military sexual trauma. When people came forward, women came forward to report military sexual trauma when it was active duty, what would happen is they would get discharged mm-hmm. from the service with no benefits, no compensation, and they were diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, which made them qualify under a pre-existing condition and therefore get zero benefits.
Oh my God, I want to use so much foul language about that kind of crap.
This was systematically perpetrated through the military in the discharge of women who reported because they did not want the statistics to be as high as they are.
Well, and they didn't want their stuff to come out and get aired.
They got busted, and so they are actually doing better now. But that's why I was saying earlier is someone who's active duty needs to be very careful right now still of what they say, how they say it, to do it through the proper channels. Women veterans are now needing to get educated that it is getting better so that they can actually put their claims in. This is what we're doing at Sisters Who Serve to help them fill out the paperwork properly, to go through the official channels that do exist with reporting and saying the right things in the right way so they can get their benefits reinstated through the VA. Because these women who are discharged with no benefits because of a pre-existing condition,
which is made
the ones who are being disenchanted. This is why women are the fastest growing homeless population in the country, because this was happening systematically.
Oh my gosh.
It's getting better. But we need the education and the resources to let women know that it's better so they can get the help that they really, really need. So I don't want it to be an adversarial relationship, because there are pathways that are making right the things that are happening or have happened in the past. We just need to band together and use our collective intelligence of the things that we know are working to educate everyone on the channels that are working, to spread that out so we actually do what the positive job that's intended, that everyone is really working together for good, both the military, the VA, and other nonprofit organizations such as Sisters Who Serve. We are banding together to do the right thing. And there's a lot of people and there's a lot of, you know, lack of information and education and distribution of that information. And the worst part is many women in the military, a lot of women veterans do not self-identify. So the more we can get women to self-identify, we can get them help.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So did we go through all the gym?
The last one is S, support women veteran businesses and nonprofits.
I have a question. Okay, yes. Wait, first of all, before my question, Nakia. So again, sisterswhoserve.org, you're going to go there, you're going to click on the subscription button and give this organization money that they need. I feel we're on a PBS commercial.
I know, but you're inspiring me.
But the question I want to ask is, how do I find female veterans that have businesses in my community? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Okay. So for example, my business, I'm certified as through the government, I'm certified as a woman-owned, service-disabled, veteran-owned business. So I'm a coach, you know, so I'm a business coach. I'm an outsourced COO. I do things on the for-profit side. And so I have an initiative personally where I've made this up, I'm in the process of trademarking it, buy one, vet one free.
Oh my God, I love it.
And so when someone purchases a coaching package or a program or whatever through my for-profit business, I donate in kind one for a veteran. So buy one, vet one free means that when you do business with my for-profit company, then you are automatically helping a veteran in need. And so I would like to make this a movement that other organizations around the country adopt this type, maybe not identically, but they at least adopt the mindset of service to give back and doing something in a meaningful way that is, and I appreciate, thank you for your service. And like I said, let's put our money where our mouth is to actually, you know, donate our time, talent, and treasure to the people who have served our country.
Yeah, the putting your actions speak louder than words. They always do.
And money always talks.
And money always talks, and money helps, you know.
And that's but a again, reason for to be. And so, even as a business coach myself, I support other businesses to be more productive and profitable. You know, to grow and be more successful. So I do that with all the organizations that I support. And guess what? The more profitable you are as a business, the more money that you make, the more you can give. So it's a generative upward spiral. Mm-hmm. So the more we all collectively do that, the more we can, as a society, as a collective. And I believed it when Dalai Lama said, it's the Western woman who's going to change the world. I took that personally and I said, tag, I'm it.
Yep, me
so
too.
I'm not part of the solution, I am part of the problem.
Yep.
So part of being the solution is doing things like this. My vision is to essentially create a consciously collaborative community of women veterans and women entrepreneurs. I believe that collectively, we are the Western women who are going to save the world. And the way that we collaborate, women veterans have skills and assets that women entrepreneurs need. Women entrepreneurs have skills and assets that women veterans need. Together, when we're working together, that is what is going to change the world. And when you save a woman, you save a whole community.
That's absolutely true. And that's true globally, not just right. in our service members, but you know, across the board, women have
the glue.
Yeah, I was going to say women have higher intentions to, you know, but women get that if you don't have a cohesive community that supports the children that grow up, then those children are going to be repeat offenders in many ways of things that that humanity no longer can tolerate.
Right.
So, Nakia, thank you again. And the website is sisterswhoserve.org. And they can reach you through Nakia at sisterswhoserve.org, right?
Yes. Yes.
Is there anything else you want to say about this?
Thank you for giving our organization a voice today. Thank you for your willingness to hear the real truth about what's happening and what we're doing and making a bigger difference in our community. So thank you, Susan, and thank you, eWomen Network. This whole idea got born from eWomen Network, and I am a member over 10 years. You know, this is the eWomen Network is my entrepreneurial home. And that's Sisters cool. Who Serve is my heart and soul service home.
That's cool. And as you're saying that, I have this image of women standing in a circle holding hands and holding hands because we're helping each other, like you said,
yes.
To up-level the consciousness, the awareness, and what it takes to be fully empowered in our lives as individuals.
To be a community, to be a network.
Yep. Yep.
Be a sisterhood.
So, thank you so much, Nakia. And we'll have you back on next time to talk about your coaching business, because I was a recipient of some of your coaching skills that just helped so much. But everybody, again, the holidays are going to be coming up. You know, instead of buying out, well, you can't buy out Toys R Us anymore because they're out of business. But instead of buying stuff on Amazon all the time, add a little bit to give to sisters who serve, maybe in the name of family members.
Yes, because we support Operation Snowflake, which is about giving military families toys to the kids that don't have money. So we have an organization for that.
Yay, I'm gonna be checking that out later. So thank you so much, and to be continued, right?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, that wraps up our chat for today. Thanks for joining me. And if you want to learn more, go to susanburrell.com. You can contact me through the website. There's blogs for you to read. There are videos to watch. And remember, I am an intuitive healer and spiritual guide at the crossroads of life. And I would be more than honored to help you on your journey to live an empowered life. And so it is. Namaste.